Thank you, brother. All right. Great. Okay. Well, please have a seat. Wonderful to be with you this morning. We're going to talk about turn-ons. What turns you on? What motivates you to do what you do? I mean, you want to move in your car, so you got to, what? Turn it on, all right? So we're going to talk about turn-ons. And, you know, we have, there's a lot of things that motivate us, right, that work within us to do what we do. And from a small child to an adult, we have different things that turn us on, don't we? I remember when I was 5 years old, what really turned me on was to have my own Prince Valiant sword and shield. And my folks set up this little savings plan for me, and I did little things and errands and stuff, and I got enough money to go to the store and get my Prince Valiant sword and shield. And that turned me on. I was so excited over this sword and shield. When I was 10 years old, you know what was the turn on? And this was in our neighborhood and everything, on our bikes, to have lights on our bikes. You know, and you could buy some of the lights with two little bulbs on them, you know, and if you had a two-bulb light, you're better than the guy that only had one. And then you could have maybe a red reflector on the back of it. You know, that boy, that turned us on to have that. Isn't that silly? But those are things that motivate us. Now, when I was 15 years old, my turn-ons changed. Sports and girls. Right, guys? Yeah, the ladies. See, my wife still turns me on, so that's why I have her sit over here instead of the front, because if she was in front of me, I saw her, it just interrupt me too much. So I'll be teaching like this. So we all have turn-ons. When I was 20 years of age, somebody shared with me God's Word. And this sounded interesting to me because I was searching for truth. I was searching for answers. Was there a God? When I was 12 years old, to backtrack a little bit, I saw a Walt Disney presentation on TV about future land. You know, what would happen in the future, cities under the seas and stuff. And the stark reality hit me real hard that I would not be alive then. I would be dead because this is going to happen about 200 years. Here at 12 years old, a little kid, and I'm thinking, man, I'm going to die. That thing scared the hell out of me. And, you know, I was troubled for days. And this fear and this concern just stayed with me, and I thought, boy, if there's a God, if there's answers to these kind of questions about life, I want to know. So I would go to different churches, check different philosophies, all kinds of things. So when I was 20 years old, somebody shared with me God's Word, Rightly Divided, that really fit, that really made sense to me, and it just changed my life. And since that time, God's Word has been my turn-on from that day, and it still is. But there's a lot of turn-ons in life, aren't there? That we face as five senses people and as believers, too. So it's interesting to see these different turn-ons that we all have. Different turn-ons. Right, ladies?
Yeah. that time of year, Nordstrom Half Annual Sale.
No way.
My favorite. Till Thursday, actually.
I have to go.
Amazing. I got a Dolce & Gabbana scarf for $6,000.
What a deal.
They're basically paying me to buy it.
Oh, I loved it. I only maxed out 3 cards.
Oh, no worries.
Yes.
So, what did you do?
Well, I laid by the pool all day, and my new issue of Cosmopolitan came. George Clooney is on the cover. What a hottie.
Oh my gosh, shopping.
George Clooney. What a turn on. Turns me on?
Power tools.
Grace?
Hello?
Woo! What are you thinking about?
Grace! Hey, Rachel.
Well, I'm just thinking about that decadent 7-layer cake I'd love to just have all to myself. 7 rich layers of mouth-watering chocolates, 3 intense mousse. Oh, yum! All topped with chocolate shavings, milk chocolate dipped in dark chocolate.
Oh. Gee, you cut me a slice of that.
Yeah.
Probably
not
me.
Yum. Oh my gosh, fellowship was so awesome today. I learned so much.
That teaching was
amazing.
Talk about peaceful, joyful. Oh my gosh.
I know. My foot was broken and it got healed while we were sitting there. I was just,
praise God.
Praise God. He's so good.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Wow. And I just want to do the word. It just makes me want to speak the word more and more. I'm just so blessed and excited. It's just like.
It turns me on.
Yeah, me too. Does it? God's word turn you on?
Yeah.
Super. Great job. A lot of turn-ons, huh? But the greatest turn-on any man or woman could ever have is the greatness of God's Word, rightly divided. Go to Hebrews, if you would, please. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick. And that's King James for alive. It's alive. God's word, for the word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Boy, that's God's word. That's a turn-on, isn't it? That's the truth of God's Word. Matthew 4:4 says, man can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jeremiah 15:16 says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. You know, that wasn't true maybe in the beginning, when I first learned God's Word. But as I continue to grow, as I continue to see God's Word unfold, I hungered for the Word. And boy, when I heard that word rightly divided, I got excited. It was great, great joy. Let's go to James 3:17. There's many scriptures we could look at, but we'll look at a few here about God's Word. Because God's Word is the greatest turn-on any man or woman could ever have. So James chapter 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Hey, does this sound like something pretty good? Yeah, this is God's Word. This is God's Word. And within God's Word, I'd like to share with you this morning five turn-ons. Five turn-ons within God's Word. And the first one is the Creator of the heavens and the earth is my Father, and I am His child. The guy who created everything we see, the universe, everything, is my Father, and I'm His kid. Now, if that's not a turn-on, what is? Let's take a look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at some tremendous scriptures that, to me, are phenomenal turn-ons to live life, to have great joy, to move on day in and day out, knowing these great truths. So Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what?
Life and peace.
Life and peace. That's a turn on, isn't it? Life and peace. If God's Word's true, then my golly, we want to get it, huh? We want to know and understand so that we can have this life and peace in our life. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the Word of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. All the fleshly trips do not please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. How do you know if you're in the Spirit? Well, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So to have the Spirit in us, great turn on. Because you know you belong to who? God Almighty. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. The Spirit that dwells in you seals that relationship so that God is your Father and you're His child. We'll see that here in a moment. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Wow. Sons of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. See, this stuff shouldn't be just religious words for us. It's life, isn't it? These are true words. These are the right words. There's no greater words you'll ever hear than what we're reading right now. Sorry. But is this not good? Is there any better? Could you dream any bigger or better? Man, when I was a kid, I had this fear of life and death and everything, and I had hopes that God might be like this. But when I saw the Word unfold, God was much, much bigger than that, to be His child. Oh my golly. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption or sonship, where we cry, Daddy, Daddy, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. That's not a turn-on. You know, you think about, well, what's God's turn-on? Daddy, Daddy. To be called Daddy, Daddy. For us to know who we are in Christ and to say, Father, Father. I bet that really turns him on. Another turn on in God's Word is the proof that I have that I'm born again of God's Spirit. Let's go to Acts chapter 10 rather. Acts chapter 10. The proof in the senses realm that I am actually a child of God, born again of His Spirit, that I have that Spirit dwelling within me. In the early church that started on the day of Pentecost, they had received Holy Spirit. And the first thing they did was what? They spoke in tongues. This new thing that had never been done before was introduced on the day of Pentecost. They spoke in tongues. They knew without a shadow of a doubt that they had that Spirit within them. As they moved God's Word out, they hit upon some Gentiles. Now at this time in this culture, the apostles would not have anything to do with the Gentile. But God worked it out that a fellow by the name of Cornelius, who hungered for the things of God, would be meet up with Peter. So Peter and some of the guys went. It's a long story. You can read it in chapter 10. I want to hone in on these two verses here in chapter 10, verse 45. Let's start with verse 44. Because Peter came in, he talked with these Gentiles, and this is what happened. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the Word. They heard the Word, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost came upon them. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. They could not believe their eyes. Why? As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of Holy Ghost. They couldn't believe it. Well, how did they know they had Holy Spirit upon them? Next verse, 46. For they heard them, what, speak with tongues and magnify God. They saw these Gentiles speaking in tongues just like they did on the day of Pentecost. Oh my golly, and they were so astonished because these guys had Holy Spirit. When you speak in tongues, you have the proof in the senses realm that you're born again of God's Spirit. I just spoke in tongues. What's in me? Am I a son of God? Boy, I am a son of God, and I know it without a shadow of a doubt. Boy, when I spoke in tongues for the first time in my life, greatest day of my life. Oh my golly. Why? Because I knew I was born again of God's Spirit. I knew I had the greatest thing in the whole world that anybody could ever have. New birth reality. Spirit of God. Incorruptible seed. Oh my golly. See why this is a turn on? When you speak in tongues, there's so many great things that happen when you speak in tongues. What a turn on. Oh, there's many verses I could share with you, but let's look at another turn-on. The other turn-on I want to share with you is I can know the great purposes of God, His mystery and His wisdoms, His wisdom. To know the great purposes of God. Go to chapter 3 in the book of Ephesians, please. Chapter 3 in the book of Ephesians. Chapter 3, verse 17. Yes, chapter 3, but let's look at verse 10. Verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. The church could know the manifold wisdom of God according to what kind of purpose? Eternal purpose, which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can know that. We can know the manifold wisdom of God. God wants the church to know that. He wants us to know this eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have what? Boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him, or by the right way of believing concerning Jesus Christ. That's purpose, knowing this eternal purpose. Man, to know what Jesus Christ did to accomplish our redemption. This was, we all have purposes of doing things, right? This was God's purpose, eternal purpose. And we're a part of it. We're a big time part of it. Wow. Colossians chapter 2. This Colossians chapter 2, I've read this hundreds of times. Hundreds of times. And you know what I do each time I read it? I just go crazy. I'm just so blessed. I don't get tired of it because it's the truth of God's Word. It's so big, so full. Do you get tired of that 7-layer cake? Where you could just eat it every day, couldn't you? I'm an ice cream. I got to have ice cream every day. I just can't. I'm sorry. I got to have ice cream every day. I never get tired of it. I got to have God's Word every day. And this Colossians chapter 2, my golly, verse 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto some of the riches, no, unto all riches of a little bit of assurance of understanding. No. Full assurance of understanding. Look at those words. My golly, that their hearts, your hearts, my hearts, the believers' hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You want brains? You want to have mental abilities? You want wisdom? You want great knowledge? Where is it all focused? Yeah, God's Word into Christ. My golly. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joined, beholding your order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And here's a big beware sign. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after who? Boy, there's your delineation, there's your cut right there. You know, what's right and what's not right, what's good and what's not so good. For in Him, who's Him talking about? Christ dwelleth, what? All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 10. I'm getting too excited here. Oh my golly. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him. Complete, fully complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Am I missing anything from God's perspective? I'm complete in Christ. Not because of what I did, but because what He did for me. We're saved by grace, right? Oh my golly. This, what a turn on this is. Now I know there's football drafts going on, and the NBA's playing basketball, and there's playoffs, and the Padres are winning games, which is unbelievable. But being complete in Christ, that's a turn on, isn't it? Wow, I am complete in Him. Whew. Oh my golly. Turn on number 4. I know God's love lives within me and I know it. Romans 8:35. You guys know this one. Romans 8. We should never get tired of reading God's word because it's life. What was that Jeremiah verse? Were found and I did eat them. The joy and rejoicing of my heart, because you know God's word. I mean, I know people read the word and it's not, doesn't mean that much to them, but they don't realize what Christ did for them. They don't realize that this is really the truth, that there's no greater answers to life than what is found in God's word. You and I know this. You know, we're still growing. I got other turn-ons besides the word that I've got to watch out for, like chocolate ice cream. But you know what? You know, we could always come back to the word, right? We always come back to that wonderful word of God. Have an ice cream cone reading the word. Okay. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. My golly, it's so bad. No! Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's the greatest truth. Man, oh man, nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. We got to really get this word in us so that it's real. It's more real than the TV, the reality shows that are so unreal. Just let's get into reality, the truth of God's word. Ephesians 3:17. This is unbelievable, but there it is in God's word. He wrote it here so that we could see it, so we could believe it, so that we could live it. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. Did I miss that? Depth and height, I'm sorry. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow. All the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works where? In us. No greater written words or stated words ever in the history can compare to God's word. Nothing. Nothing at all. God's word is the ultimate turn on. The final turn on from God's word I want to share with you is I have the hope of Christ's return. Christ is coming back any minute. I'm convinced of that, not because of Josh told me that, but because God's word, God Almighty says it, right? Let's go to, oh my golly, let's go to Titus 1:2. It says in Romans 6:28, the gift of God is eternal life. There's so many wonderful scriptures we could look at. Timothy, Titus, chapter 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot do what? One thing that God cannot do, and that's what? Lie. God cannot lie. He promised before the world began. but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So eternal life and hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, he promised before the world began. Chapter 3, verse 7. Verse 7 in chapter 3 says that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Hebrews, keep going a little bit. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. This is phenomenal here. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained what? Eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Why not? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. That's us. Okay, we got to go to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll close here. 1 hope that God's Word and the things in God's Word are a little more of a turn on to you than they were when you first arrived. I know for me it is, just teaching this. This is exciting. All right, 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 49. Man, all we're doing is reading the Word, aren't we? There's no fancy talk here or whatever. It's reading God's Word, and it's so fantabulous. Something like that. 49, 15, chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We're all going to be changed. Wow. I don't know how my wife can change, look any better, though. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory, O death, where is thy sting? Thy sting, O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be changed. Christ is going to come back at any moment, and we're going to be changed. That's quite a turn on. Any moment, he's coming back. And we're going to be with him for eternity. And we're going to do some neat, tremendous, wonderful, exciting things. So, you know, life is too short not to have true turn-ons. God's Word is the greatest turn-on, isn't it? It is. It is. So I'm thankful we can be together as a family with God's Word, you know? Get turned on together to share this great, wonderful Word of God And I'm excited about the days ahead. I believe God's just opening some wonderful opportunities for us to speak the word to hungry souls. Big time. Big time. So, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave this place because it's just not going to be large enough. And that'll be exciting too, huh? Well, you're sure wonderful. God has made you the very best, and we can be thankful for that, okay? So, Heavenly Father, we're very, very, very thankful that you are our Father, that we have the gift of Holy Spirit, that we can speak in tongues. We have the proof that we are your sons and daughters. And Father, that you have shown us your eternal purpose, that we can know the great wisdoms of knowledge and spiritual truths that you've made available, that we can know who we are in Christ. We can know who we are in the one body of Christ and function like you would have us to function. And that, Father, we know your wonderful love that is so deep and just so tremendous. And, Father, thankful that we can know Christ is coming back at any moment and that we're going to be changed. So we sure love you, Father, and thank you for making all of this wonderful truths and realities available to us so that we can be turned on to your word and your love. And I pray and thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 All right.